Well, golly, there's just lots of stuff going on today, I tell you. A lot of people have asked why I was all dressed up. Thank you, Don. Appreciate it. Glad you think I look nice. And, you know, I'm not sure. Maybe this is my Lenten sacrifice. I'm sacrificing my Hawaiian shirts for Lent. Sacrificing my comfort since I hate wearing a coat and tie. Maybe this is just my way of saying that, you know, I wore a coat and tie for the funeral on Thursday. I would not do any less for any of you. I don't know. I have been struggling at work because I recently got my certified addictions professional license, which allows me to serve as treatment director or qualified professional or, you know, any one of a number of things that you might term it, but to go on to the next level in my work with the addictions treatment. And it's been hard because I want people to be impressed. I want people to let me know what a great job I'm doing and, you know, all this stuff. And sometimes people just don't notice you as much as you might like them to. Leonard told me that he had this opportunity coming up to be appointed, and I think he would make a wonderful judge. Both from my perspective as his pastor and from my perspective as someone who sometimes shares clients with him as defender, defense attorney, I think he does a great job in what he does, and I hope he gets recognized for that. Here's Jesus talking about doing his work. And the Pharisees want to run him off. They want to scare him away. They want to tell him that Herod is coming to kill him, thinking that he will leave, that he'll get out of their hair, that he'll go away. And he says, I'm doing my work here. I have work to do. I have God's work to do. Isn't that what's important? I mean, I think that in my work with folks at the center, it's God's work. And I found myself talking to two of my clients on Friday night about the fact that they needed to surrender their lives to God because otherwise they were not going to make it. And even if they did make it, they weren't going to make it. Even if they got out of our program successfully, they were not going to be successful because they weren't thinking straight. As long as they held on to that control, they were doing the wrong thing. They needed to let go. I have to do that in my life sometimes. I get to thinking that I know what I need to do next, and I know where I need to go, and I know where I need to be, and I wish these people would just see it my way, and then I have to stop and think, no, wait a minute. It's not my way that's important. It's His way. Maybe there's a purpose in people not seeing things the way I see them. I'm sure that Leonard has similar feelings about being appointed a judge. He'd like to be a judge. It's important to be a judge. He'd feel important to be a judge, but I'm sure he wants God's will to be done first, whatever that may be. We all want God's will to be done first, and yet in a world of worldly things, it's hard not to be worldly. It's hard not to think that, well, I know what I need to do, and I know where I need to be, and I know where, you know, and we get so busy doing what we think we're supposed to, what we think we should, what we think is next, that we sometimes forget to stop and ask Him what He wants of us. Jesus knew what was wanted of Him. He knew that His end was coming, that He was going to be called on to make the ultimate sacrifice. And yet He continued doing God's work without fear. I think there might have been a note of sarcasm in His voice as He said, Herod can't touch me. It'll be the people of Jerusalem. It will be God's own people who will put me to death. What a sad thing to say. That would be like, you know, me getting pulled over and telling the cop, hey, I don't have anything to worry about from you. It's those folks in church I'm worried about. What a sad thing to say. The very people who were God's chosen people, the very people who were supposed to be closest to God, were going to be the people who would be most afraid of him, who would be most offended by him, who would be most likely to take his life, to sacrifice him for their fears, for their hungers, for their worries. What a sad thought. We have on the communion rail a cup of ashes. Thank you for the ashes. And a whip. Tommy's not here for me to thank him, but Leonard, thank you for reading that today. They represent suffering. The pain of fire, the cleansing of fire, the whipping that Jesus experienced, the scourging, to be whipped, stripped, insulted, demeaned. The Son of God. They treated him like that. And we're worried about how we're treated. They treated him like that. We worry about how we're treated. Oh, to suffer for God. To be able to do something so great that people would fear us and hate us because we are willing to change the world by doing God's will. Most of us will never get a chance to do anything so grandiose or so powerful. But as the church, we know how it feels. Sometimes people look at us as Christians and they have their conception of what a Christian is, and it ain't pretty. They don't like us. They think we're stuck up or crazy or deluded or something. But we know that Christ makes a difference in our lives. We know that being God's people makes a difference in how we see things. We know that when we call on God, we may not get what we want, but He answers our prayers. Even if it's just to say no. That's not the right place for you to be. That's not the right thing for you to get. That's not the right place for you to go. And sometimes He says, sure, I'll give you that. Just wait and see what happens. Uh-oh. As the bumper sticker said, oh no, not another learning experience. Yeah. Painful, isn't it? We too often learn by making mistakes, and then we learn about, oh, that's why I shouldn't do that. Yeah, I get it now. Jesus knew, without a doubt, what was going to happen to him. That he would be killed. That he would be whipped. That he would be sacrificed on a tree. For people. Some of whom who didn't even believe in him. And yet he was willing to sacrifice himself. In the hope. In the certain and sure belief that God was with him, and that in doing God's will, he would make the world a better place. And so here we are, 2010 years later, praising him, worshiping him, remembering his pain, remembering his suffering, remembering his willingness to go into Jerusalem, knowing that that would be his end, to go in front of Herod, knowing that he would be unfairly judged, to go to the cross, knowing that he would have to die. Not for anything he did, but because of who he was. And for us. For all we did. For all we do. For all we would do. Knowing that some would never understand and never believe, but knowing too that some would believe, would understand, would follow him. It would make a difference. And so he took that walk. He accepted that fate. He was willing to suffer that pain that you and I and our grandchildren and our grandparents might have the opportunity to know him, to know his sacrifice, to know God the way he knew God, and to be able to have that relationship. Children of God, family of God, part of God's kingdom. We say it every Sunday. His kingdom come, his will be done What a wonderful thing to know that we will experience that, God's kingdom on earth. The earth a perfect, pure place, once again, as He intended it to be, as we managed to mess it up. God loves us. He shouldn't. We didn't appreciate the gift of the Garden of Eden, and we don't appreciate the gifts He gives us here sometimes. He shouldn't love us, just as sometimes we as children are not very lovable, and sometimes we as parents struggle to love those that we know we should when they're not being very lovable. But He loves us anyway. He cares for us anyway. He was willing to die for us anyway. He was willing to be our sacrifice so that we would not have to be sacrificed. God loves you. He sent His only Son. He sent Him to be here with us. And so in the face of death, He laughed and says, "Hey, you can't touch me. I'm not in Jerusalem yet. I know what my fate is. I'm busy about my Father's work. Leave me alone. Go away. Don't bother me. I have stuff to do. I have God's work to do." And so today I encourage you to take this Lenten season and think about, what work does God have for you to do? What things does God want you to do? Each of us, every one of us, and all of us together, have a place in His kingdom, have a place in His world, have a purpose. That's one of the wonderful things about being God's people, is we know whose we are, we know who we are, and we know what we're supposed to do. His work, His will. Some place to go, someone to follow, someone to give us instruction, someone to point the way, and to take care of us along the way. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. That He will be here for us. That He would sacrifice Himself for us. That He loved us so much that He was willing to face the whip, the tree, and death for us. Amen.